Hey people, today's episode is being sponsored by Retrospects at the Cosmopolitan Hotel of Las Vegas. I've been wearing sunglasses from Retrospects for almost 5 years now, and I honestly wouldn't wear anything else. They have everything you could possibly want, from the vintage stuff to modern day interpretations of the vintage stuff. They do restoration, they do prescription, they do it all. To receive 10% off your first purchase and free shipping anywhere within the U.S., email them at lasvegas@retrospects.com or visit their website at www.retrospects.com. All right, we're going to do the show now. On today's episode, I want to talk to you about how John Mayer opened up recently in the New York Times about his watch obsession. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. It's Amit Dave Honda, and welcome to the show. Today I want to talk to you about John Mayer opening up in the New York Times about his watch obsession. I first want to preface this by saying last Thursday my sister sent me a link to this article, and I just kind of, you know, clicked the link, saw it, didn't really read it, but I want to go back to John Mayer and his watch collection and how I sort of got, you know, I've always been a fan of, you know, great watches, iconic watches, watches that withstand the test of time, you know, and there are some key iconic pieces that every connoisseur should have in their watch collection. John Mayer, I've never really been a fan of his music, but I've always respected him and I've respected what he's done. He's a 7-time Grammy winner. He's a songwriter. He's a producer. I mean, he's accomplished so much at a very young age. But I guess what made me have a lot more respect for him and what brought him to the forefront to me was when I saw him, a picture of him, I think back in 2007 or 2008, wearing the IWC Big Pilots watch. This was a watch that I've worn, had myself, and I was really blown away because, you know, most celebrities don't even know what they're wearing or why they're wearing it. They're just wearing it because they want to be seen or make a statement or whatever. But what I quickly realized with John Mayer, as I saw, you know, pictures of him wearing it and then seeing other pictures of him wearing other watches, including Pro Hunter. Pro Hunter is basically a modification to Rolex watches. It's not sanctioned by Rolex. They're not affiliated by Rolex. But essentially, it's like what AMG is to Mercedes, Pro Hunter is kind of to Rolex. I mean, they have nothing to do with each other. They're separate companies. They do like a DLC-type coating on all Rolex, not all Rolex watches, but most popular Rolex professional sports models. And again, I saw John Mayer on stage, a picture of him wearing a Pro Hunter watch. And I was like, all right, this guy's pretty in tune with what's going on, because Pro Hunter is kind of one of those cult type things that only collectors really know about, or watch guys, or specifically Rolex guys, vintage Rolex guys. And then as time went on, you know, I saw him wearing different things, Audemars Piguet, Panerais, Patek's, and I was like, okay, like, this is a serious watch collector. This is somebody that has, and not just, he's not wearing it just to make a statement. He has an appreciation and love for it like I do, or any watch enthusiast or aficionado, and that really was cool, you know. And this article written in the New York Times last Thursday was a great article about how John Mayer kind of got into watch collecting. It was written by Alex Williams, and it goes into how he started with his first watch. It was a Star Wars themed watch. It was made by Armatron. It was digital, having pictures of C-3PO and R2-D2. And it goes in, he goes into sort of the whole trajectory of watches and how he got into it. And his first real watch was a Rolex Explorer 2 that he bought, I believe, in 2001. With his first real check from the record label. From there, he kind of went, he read up more about watches and got the Big Pilots watch. I'm unclear of when exactly he got it, but he was so into that watch that people, definitely collectors and people who noticed, music fans and watch fans and enthusiasts noticed, like me, And he actually, you know, on his tour bus, he was called Big Pilot. He was synonymous with that watch. And actually, that's probably what I identify with him the most, even though he owns better watches and more vintage watches and more expensive watches. I think the Big Pilot suits him because, you know, in the words of Benjamin Clymer from Hodinkee, you know, he basically is a watch nerd icon, John Mayer is. John Mayer also guest blogs on Hodinkee, and Hodinkee is owned by Benjamin Clymer. And, you know, in the article, it basically said, Benjamin Clymer said, you know, he gets asked a lot, you know, a lot of people come up to him and say, wow, you know, my wife or my girlfriend thought I was crazy for liking watches so much until I told her that John Mayer was the very same way. You know, John Mayer is kind of a, he's kind of a nerd, you know, he's kind of one of those guys, he's a techie guy, he's into his stuff, he wears his stuff, and just like he's into guitars, and he's into amps, he's into watches, and he's beyond the aesthetics of it, for the mechanics of it, for the history of it, for the functionality of it, you know, for the pure horology aspect of it. And I really, really respect that about him. I mean, he goes to shows and he, you know, not only is he a guest blogger on Hodinkee, but he, you know, he sat on the board of the GPHG in Geneva, Switzerland, which gives away, you know, a prize in different categories every year for different watches and different complications. And it's quite a revered prize to have in the industry. He goes to shows with his loop and he studies these things, and that's what I like about him. He's not afraid to talk about it. You know, a lot of, I think for a guy, you know, and I've said this in many different ways, but, you know, watches tells a lot about your taste, about your class, about your status. And John Mayer definitely has incredible taste in watches. You know, he's a tastemaker. He advises, you know, just the women he's dated. Look at the women he's dated, whether it be Jessica Simpson or whether it be Jennifer Aniston. I mean, these are two women who, I mean, after dating him, I've seen wearing Rolex watches. You know, Jennifer Aniston wearing a Day-Date. Jessica Simpson wearing, you know, a Everrose Daytona on a bracelet. You know, and I think very heavily influenced by John Mayer. He's also influenced, you know, comedians like Aziz Ansari and, you know, R&B hip-hop artists like Drake to wear the right things. Even Drake wears, you know, a Day-Date, even though it has diamonds on it, which I'm not a fan of. But I don't know if that was John Mayer's recommendation or not. But, you know, at the end of the day, John Mayer does have good taste and he does know good watches. And it's way beyond aesthetics. In the article, it also said, you know, when you get your first nice watch, you know, especially when you haven't had a nice watch before, the first thing you really notice is the weight. And then you study the design of it and you study the functionality of it and you know, it almost becomes one with you. And he just put it really well. I mean, he really, what I like about him is that, you know, watch enthusiasts are seen as geeks and nerds, and you know, it's become more mainstream over the last 5 or 6 years because watches are a status symbol now. But I like how he's demystified that. I like how he's taken off, you know, he's made it okay for nerds and geeks and enthusiasts of different things who maybe have not been into watches before. Maybe they're into gadgets, just, you know, like I said, or instruments or what have you, cars or whatever it is that you're into and you weren't into watches before. John Mayer's totally made it okay to like watches and to accept it and to be proud about it and celebrate it. And he also said something really cool, which is either you're born a watch person or you're not, which I totally agree with. It's the search as well, searching for that right piece. For instance, I know that John Mayer owns a vintage Rolex Double Red Sea Dweller, which is a total must-have piece for any serious vintage watch collector, especially Rolex collector. He also owns a, you know, vintage Daytona, and he loves vintage Rolex. And the article also went on to cover the, which I'll quickly brush over, the, you know, the lawsuit that he filed against a specific aftermarket, you know, dealer who sold him some vintage Rolexes. you know, he said it was painful, but it was a lesson, you know, and he learned a lesson from it. And, you know, he's a very astute guy. He did also say that, you know, collecting vintage Rolexes, it's like a minefield. It is, because you don't really know what you're getting. And I honestly, and I'm sure after the experience he had buying vintage Rolexes, and some of them being spurious, not genuine, I'm sure that's made him a much more savvy and astute and keen and aware collector of watches. Because these things, you know, especially the vintage stuff, you don't know what you're getting. You don't know what's inside unless you know every single trademark that Rolex has on vintage pieces and you've been trained. You don't know what you're getting. And unfortunately, some people learn the hard way. And there are very few people on the planet who are actually well known for selling vintage pieces. There are very few people. I'd probably say there's one or two people in the world that I know of that I would go to for vintage pieces. That's why I always recommend to buy new, because at least you know what you're getting and you get a 2-year manufacturer's warranty. But that aside, I mean, you know, what I also liked as well is that he compared you know, collecting watches to having a gallery of tattoo art on his body. You know, his first tattoo is different from his last tattoo. His first watch is different from his last watch, you know, and it's pretty amazing. It's really, really amazing. He also went on to talk about how, you know, at some point everyone's going to own an Apple Watch, and, you know, they, whether they have it on their right wrist or whether they use it as a pocket watch, because it's a tool. And, you know, listen, a lot of watch companies are now going in that direction. I mean, IWC is launching their own thing called the IWC Connect, and it's sort of like a, you know, they've integrated it into the strap, and it will start on their big pilot's pieces. I don't know how I feel about that. I like to respect the tradition, the history of horology and wearing a timepiece, and it's just sad because you're now seeing these watch companies with heritage, you know, going after that market as well. And I understand that people need to be connective. But to his point about owning an Apple Watch, yeah, you know what? The Apple Watch may be the modern day pocket watch. That makes a lot of sense. I would never wear it on my wrist. I personally don't like the look of it. I think it's very dated looking for something that's supposed to execute modern connectivity. But hey, a pocket watch might be the way to go. Wearing it on a belt loop or a fob or on a chain, I don't know. He may have a point there, but it's definitely, I haven't gotten there myself. My mind hasn't gotten there yet, you know? You know, he also went on to talk about, like, you know, people who are in the watch business, or people who talk about watches, like the Patek enthusiasts or the Rolex enthusiasts, that, you know, go over every detail of the fine-tooth comb, don't own any of those watches. You know, people who talk about sports don't play for those teams. He made a really good point, and I really admire and respect the fact that he was so candid about it, and he was so open about it. And, you know, it's a mission for him. He's forever learning. The journey and the search, I think, is probably the most important. The education, being able to help people as well, is very important to him. And honestly, I would absolutely love to have the opportunity to interview John Mayer on my podcast about watches, how he got into it, and hear what he has to say, because I think that would translate better than, I mean, it's always great to read articles, and but, you know, to actually see him or speak to him on the phone and feel the passion or the emotion behind it and ask him questions. I've been in the industry my whole life. I think it would be phenomenal. I probably wouldn't talk to him just about watches. I'd talk to him about music, whatever else that was on my mind. But I think it would be really cool. I think it would be a very, very unique and incredible opportunity for me. And I think it would be, more than anything, I want you to hear it from him, because, you know, these are the kind of things where, you know, a lot of people are really scared to get into watch collecting. It's, you know, you're delving, you're dipping your toe in the unknown, and there's just so many things to look out for. And, you know, and he's, you know, listen, he's got the money, he's got the fame, he's got the stardom, he's got the access. I mean, he even had Patek You know, he commissioned Paddock to make a specialty piece for him. You know, he's got that kind of influence and power. And I like the fact that he's using his celebrity, his influence, and his power to do something really constructive and helpful and amazing. And, you know, I'd love for you to all hear that. If I ever have the opportunity one day, John, I'm just saying, I'd love to do it. So whenever you're ready, buddy, I'm here. Those are my thoughts on John Mayer and him opening up in the New York Times about his watch obsession. I'd like to thank my sponsor, Retrospect of the Cosmopolitan Hotel of Las Vegas. You want the best sunglasses in the world? Don't look any further. Email them at lasvegas@retrospects.com to receive 10% off your first purchase and free shipping anywhere within the U.S. You can visit their website at www.retrospects.com. I'd also like to thank Shellboy Music and DJ Flipside for providing the musical tracks to this podcast. If you want to know what's going on with me and the watch industry, check out my Twitter and my Instagram feed. You can see the coolest pictures of watches all over the world that I've taken and people have sent in and what I'm up to. My handle for both is at Amit Dave Honda. You can like my Facebook watch page. You can sign up for my weekly newsletter. I'll include the link to that in this podcast to get informed without being committed on a daily basis to my blog. And until we meet again, rock on and fly back.